Today's Old Testament reading is taken from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, you know." And then he said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Romans 8, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." This is the word of the Lord. Chapter 11, verses 17 through 27 and 38 through 53. "Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. That's a wonderful thing for Jesus to tell us. Not just to tell Martha at the death of her brother, but to tell you and to me. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. We are almost to the end of our Lenten season. It's been a long season of purple cloth and dead trees. Soon it's going to change. Next week we'll get to celebrate with Palm Sunday. We'll get Holy Week, and we'll end it with Easter. We will celebrate a God who has died for us and for our sins, that we might have life. A God who has defeated death itself. A God who says to you that you have life in his name. This reading from John chapter 11 is one that's a part of our general Lutheran funeral service, our common funeral rite. to hear, "I am the resurrection and the life," to know that anyone who would die would live through faith in Jesus. That's where our hope is. That's why we as Christians, when we mourn the death of our loved ones, do not mourn as those who have no hope, but as those who know that life continues after this life, that we have an eternal life to look forward to. Today, we also have in our reading this with this story of Lazarus and his illness that leads to death. Leading up to it, Jesus says, tells the sisters, this illness will not lead to death. And yet he ends up dying. And then we get Jesus showing up here, showing up to Lazarus's grave, where the stone is rolled in front of the tomb, and he's been in there now for 4 days. This is in the Middle East. There is not a whole lot of embalming. There's not a refrigeration system. There is not regular cremation. And so we get verse 39, which is not a funny verse. It's just a verse of reality. However, it is my favorite verse in King James translation. If you don't already know, if you've not read it in the King James, it's very exciting. Martha would say, "Lord, he's been in there for 4 days. He stinketh. He stinketh." You can go look in the King James. It's great. He's been in there for so long. He's been dead for 4 days. And yet Jesus is saying, take away the stone. He's not dead. Are you sure, Jesus? It's not going to smell great. We have got a lot of people here. That's just not nice to them. It's unkind to say, let's open up this tomb and we will all smell what's inside. But Jesus says, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? This is reminiscent of our reading last week when we got to hear about the man who was born blind. People had been asking, why was he born blind? Was it his sin? Was it his parents' sin? This doesn't make any sense to us. He said it wasn't for their sin, but it was for the purpose that you would see the glory of God. He said, in doing these miracles, in showing these wonderful things, we have in this opportunity, we see another chance of seeing God's glory, seeing the glory of Jesus Christ, who is true God. Sure enough, Jesus calls in, he calls on his Father, and he prays and says, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing round, that they may believe that you sent me. He's about to do something amazing, and he wants all of the people to know this amazing thing isn't just to show off his power and ability, but to show that he is from the Father. Through all of Jesus' earthly ministry, he's had constant doubters, constant people who would be confused, not just that he could be from God, in fact, others who would say that he was in opposition to God. He wanted his disciples, he wanted those present to see and to know he truly was sent from the Father, and he has the power not just over blindness or fish and bread, not just the power over water being turned to wine. He has power even over death itself. And so sure enough, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Much louder than that. You're welcome. It's a good thing I lost my voice today. And the man who had died came out. His hands and feet were bound with linen strips, his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Unbind him and let him go. What an interesting phrase. Not to say, help him out, take off those wraps. Specifically, unbind him, let him go. Using language that the Bible has used before about people who have died. We are not bound to the consequences of our sins. We are not bound to death anymore. in Jesus' name and through his words, you are unbound from the shackles of sin and death. To the grave, to death itself, let him go. The grave has no hold over you. You are free from sin. You are free from death. That's not just Jesus' promise to Lazarus in that moment. That's his promise to you and to all believers. In Romans chapter 8, our epistle reading from today, we got to hear about the Spirit many, many times. The law of the Spirit, all those who would walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You who are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, then anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him, but you. You belong to him. You belong to God. You have the Spirit of God in you. And then verse 10. If Christ is in you through the Spirit, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. To live without Christ, to live without the Spirit of God in you, means to be walking in death, means to be the walking dead. I don't think I'll get trademarked for this. For those who have Christ in you, for all of you who know him as your Savior, for all of you who have been filled with the Spirit, we are so thankful that though you are walking with the flesh of someone who would die, you have life in you already, such that even when you do die, you would not be dead but alive because of the Spirit that is in you. You live as someone who can die and yet cannot die, will not die. The Spirit of life, the Spirit of Christ who has risen from the dead, the Spirit of the one who can raise everyone from the dead, no matter how much you stinketh, that Spirit of Christ is in you. The one who died for the sins of the whole world has given you life in his name. It's wonderful to know that that was the plan from the beginning. It was prophesied to a valley of dry bones in the Old Testament. It was told by Jesus to people who were around a tomb. It's told to you through the rest of the epistles that continue to share this. It should be told to you every time you come to church that you have life in Jesus' name. And it's amazing that this plan from the beginning was one that, though people continued to try to stop it, though people would doubt and disbelieve in Jesus, though they would literally go so far as to kill him trying to stop him, God's plan for your salvation and to give you life could not be stopped. We get an interesting peek behind the curtain with the leaders of the Jewish temple. They're arguing and saying, we need to stop this. Jesus is doing too many miracles, too many amazing things. This is going to lead to problems for us. The Romans may come and take our land, take our nation, destroy us. And as they're arguing, Caiaphas, the high priest, yells at them, you know nothing at all. You don't understand that it would be better for you that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish. What an interesting thing for him to say. We would say, yes, you're right, Caiaphas. He didn't realize why he was right, though. We are then told by the gospel writer John that he did not say this of his own accord, but having been being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only. What an amazing thing to know that God would use someone to speak this great prophecy and to bring it up even just before he would come and die for everyone. Caiaphas, of course, is thinking, well, we need to save our whole nation. We don't want the Romans to destroy it, therefore we must destroy Jesus. And if we do that, if he dies, our whole nation will be saved. God used a very broken man with a very broken understanding of who Jesus is to tell you that Jesus did die for the sins of the whole world. Not just the Jewish people, but for the whole world. What a blessing it is to know that this one man who is God perished so that you would have eternal life. Through the power of God and his word, through his mercy and his grace, his spirit is in you. And because he died, you do not need to fear death. Death itself is just the opportunity for this sinful self to die, this sinful nature. You have life in his name. And may that life continue to guard and keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.